This week, our speaker is Mrs. Molly. Mrs. Molly was born and raised in Northern Virginia. She attended George Mason University, located right outside of Washington, D.C. After college, she served as a Catholic missionary with focus at the University of Connecticut. She moved to Lincoln 3 years ago and started working at Pius. In 2023, she married Connor, a Pius alum. She has a one-year-old son, Isaiah, and has another baby on the way, due in August. Next year, Mrs. Molly will make the transition to be a stay-at-home mom with her little ones. She will miss Pius and is extremely grateful for the time she spent working here. Please help me welcome Mrs. Molly.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday, last Friday before Good Friday, so fun. It's great to be with you today. What a gift here at Pius that you're able to hear from several speakers about their unique stories of how Jesus changed their lives. And I'll be sharing my story too, but I'm actually going to be sharing it in reverse order, starting with the present moment. I mean this in all sincerity that I absolutely love my life. I'm so deeply satisfied and fulfilled with where I find myself in life. And I can say this in confidence because it is rooted in the truth that I am deeply loved. And knowing that I am loved allows me to be joyful, to be grateful, and to be secure in who I am. And if I were to describe my life right now, I would break it into these five statements. The first is that I love our Lord more than anything else. I love his all-good, all-loving heart that I've come to know in a personal way. He gives my life meaning and purpose. I trust his intentions in all things. I find security in his unconditional love. I find the most peace in my life in his presence. I know he is for me and not against me. He is present. He is steady when I'm not. He is merciful when I go astray. He heals me, he sees me, and he knows what's best for me. He comforts me when I'm lonely, and he knows my heart better than anyone else. Next, I love the Catholic Church. I absolutely love being Catholic. I love everything the Church stands for because it is rooted in love and only love. I love the sacraments, I love the commandments, I love the structure of our church because it gives us routine and order. I love scripture and tradition. I love the Eucharist. I love the saints. I love Mary. I love priests and religious life.
My favorite priest is this man. Maybe you know him. His name is Father Mark Mary. He's BFFs with Father Angelus and Father Innocent, who are both Pius alum. They have a podcast together called Poco Poco. Or maybe you know him from Rosary in the A Year podcast. It was the number one in the country this year. Super awesome. I met Father Mark Mary in college on a mission trip. And at this point in my life, I didn't know priests were actually cool until I met him. The two priests I knew were my hometown priest, who was honestly old and mean, and my college chaplain, who was also awesome. But I thought that was a rare thing. I didn't know at the time that Father Mark Mary would be one of the men who would love me best in my life. And this continues for my love of the church. I love the riches of truth, beauty, and goodness found in our faith. And I love that the church is my home no matter where I go in life. Next is I love my husband. I absolutely love this man. He is so awesome. I love our marriage. I love that he's a godly man and that he has a similar gaze to the way Jesus looks at me. I am seen, known, and loved by him better than any other human. I feel safe and secure in his presence. His love for me has revived, restored, and renewed me in ways I never thought were possible. And saying my vows to him on our wedding day was one of the greatest moments of my life. I am confident he will lead me and our family to heaven. And the fruit of this love is this next man. I love my son, Isaiah. I mean, he's just such a cute chicken nugget. He's an absolute joy, and he radiates God's love to me every single day. He teaches me how to die to myself. Every mother in this room knows that. He stretches my capacity to love. He teaches me how to be patient, humble, and present. And I believe being in the presence of babies is some of our closest experiences of heaven because they are pure and innocent. And I love babies so much that I have another one on the way. So a few days before Christmas this year, I took a pregnancy test to prove to my family that I wasn't pregnant. I was pregnant. That is Isaiah eating my pregnancy test, so that's fun. I'm eager to be a stay-at-home mom, which I never would have said those words before marriage. Next is that I love my work. I love the work that I've committed to the past 6 years in my life. And as you heard, after graduating college, I became a Catholic missionary with Focus and was sent to the University of Connecticut to accompany student athletes in their faith. I am so eternally grateful for the way this apostolate changed the trajectory of my life, from how it served me in college and how it formed me after. I wouldn't be the friend, wife, or mother I am today without the way God encountered me through Focus. I've traveled the country, I've attended and led international mission trips to Mexico, Trinidad and Tobago, and Belize. And through this experience, I met some super awesome people. These were all my trips and mission trips. And I also met these people. Maybe they look familiar to you. So on the left, we have Coach Trey, soccer coach here at the top. My first year as a missionary, we would really battle each other in soccer and go after it. It was fun. In the middle is Mrs. Roberts. She's the one that I'm carrying. We met through Focus. Mrs. Roberts has always been like a big sister to me, so it's just crazy that we both ended up in Nebraska together. And then on the right, we have Sister Guadalupe. Hey, we had to run a 4x4 together during our training at being a missionary, and we unfortunately lost, but she was faster than most of the people, so it was probably my fault. And I formed some of my closest friendships through Focus. So 6 out of my 10 bridesmaids were Focus missionaries. I was the maid of honor in 2 of their weddings. Molly on the left, she played basketball at UConn. Shout out to the ladies team. They finally won the championship. Go Huskies. And then Becca on the right, who was the captain of our soccer team in college and now is the godmother to my son. I also met my husband through Focus, which this is a fun story. During my 2nd year as a missionary, I called Connor to lead a mission trip with me. And what he said back, he said, "Hey, I can't lead this mission trip with you, but I think you're an awesome girl and I want to get to know your heart more. Will you go on a date with me?" I was like, oh my gosh. And the girly thing about this, ladies, the night before, I'm not making this up, I was adding to my list of my future husband, and I literally wrote, "I want someone who is bold and almost like borderline reckless in the way that they pursue my heart." And then the next day, this man that lives like 20,000 miles away from me calls me and is like, "I want to date you." So here we are. It works out. So men, be bold. It might get you a wife. And to continue, my marriage led me to move across the country and start working for Pius. I've absolutely loved working here. I love my coworkers. I love the hearts of every single student I've encountered during my time here. I love leading retreats. I love my one-on-one times. And I love leading discipleship groups. A special shout out to my girlies at the bottom. We got Anna, Avery, Cagney, Ellie, and Lily. I'm just so encouraged by these ladies and how they've grown in their faith. And overall, it's just been a privilege to be with you, each and every one of you students, to laugh with you, to pray with you, to journey with you in your faith, and be on the front lines of watching Jesus change your life. You inspire me, and I will miss you all very much next year. It won't go. Can someone? There we go. John 10:10 says this. It says, "I have come so that they may have life and have it more abundantly." My life is a gift, and I full-heartedly believe I'm living the abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10:10. Now, if you were to ask me, "Mrs. Molly, is this the life you imagined for yourself?" I would say absolutely not. Not even close. We're going to rewind to high school Erin. And if you were to show this girl the plan she would have, this plan of her life, she would have been in total disbelief about this being what her life would look like in 10 years, let alone that this life would satisfy her. Like, I don't even think she'd be able to tell you where Nebraska was on a map. Seriously. And the thing here is the dangerous place that I found myself in high school was that I didn't need God. And for context, I went to public school my whole life, which is very different from many of you here. And I only had one distant Catholic friend. That's the only Catholic I knew in my life. I thought at best being Catholic was going to Mass every Sunday and praying before meals. I had no concept of a personal prayer life. I had no clue that daily Mass was even an option. And I didn't know what adoration was until I was in college. I remember showing up to adoration for my first time at a big Focus national conference. And some girl was like, Jesus is coming tonight. And I was like, what do you mean Jesus is coming tonight? Like, I thought the second coming was happening. I had no clue. And I walked in and I was like, weird, not what I expected, but I'll sit here and pray. And the thing is, in high school, like, I liked God. I liked the idea of God. I liked praying to him when I needed things, but I didn't really need him. My life didn't depend on him. And in the secular sense, I like to say I peaked in high school. I was on top of the world for many reasons, and Satan knew that if he could keep me on the pedestal that everyone put me on, I would never come to know my need for God. My plan after high school was this. It was nothing. No, my plan after high school was this. It was to be this D1 athlete, to work for the FBI and do this job, to marry this man, to look like this, and to become to leave the Catholic Church and become Protestant. Because I felt like the church was outdated and they had way too many rules. Way too many rules. I went to Mass my first week of college, and I didn't go back. And soon into college, this plan fell apart. I've had 5 knee surgeries in my life. I've been on crutches 10 times. And at that time in my life, I tore both of my ACLs back-to-back. My recovery was absolutely brutal for both, and it resulted in me being cut from the team at the end of my sophomore year. So after 14 years of playing soccer, it was over. I expected my boyfriend at the time to be my God, and since no human can fulfill that role, our relationship fell apart. We dated for over 5 years and treated each other as if we were married. And after ending that relationship, it truly felt like I went through a divorce. Since I couldn't handle the pain, I continued to numb it with other men, causing more trauma and more divorce practice. And the list goes on in college. My drinking increased, my grades decreased. There were several nights that I don't remember, and I never saw my 4.0 GPA from high school again. Anxiety and depression became a reality in my life that in my ignorance, I only thought those who struggle with that were weak. I would have crying spells, anxiety attacks. I have this vivid memory of taking this accounting final, and my anxiety got so bad, I just started circling random answers. 60 questions, just circling random answers. I was out of there in 10 minutes. It was the worst grades I had. And at that point in my life, I was lonely, I was desperate, and I was very afraid. I resonate with this quote from Blessed Fulton Sheen, that sometimes the only way the good Lord can get into some hearts is to break them. And I think sometimes in our lives, in order to actually encounter God, everything must fall apart. As humans, each of us has someone or something competing for the throne of our heart. When we allow a man, a woman, a career, success, or riches to possess our heart instead of God, we become strangers to ourselves. And I think this picture of me going into surgery is a great image of where I found myself in my spiritual life. I needed healing. My injury was something I couldn't fix on my own. I had to be cut open, drilled into, and bleed in order for my leg to function again. I could not forego the surgery if I wanted to walk again. And I think this reveals the greatest secret to our spiritual lives and is the reason why I live the abundant life that I do now. That in order to encounter the depth of love you are made for, you must suffer. You must suffer. And this is so contrary to what we know. Our culture tells us that in order to be happy, we must remove all suffering. I've said it myself, and I've heard many others say, if we have a loving God, why does he allow suffering in my life? And yet, when you Google Catholic quotes about suffering, we hear a completely different narrative about suffering. We hear the need for suffering. We hear the love that comes from suffering. Suffering is the greatest treasure on earth. The greater the suffering, the purer the love. If God sends you many sufferings, it is a sign that he has great plans for you and certainly wants you to be a saint. Mother Teresa, suffering is not a punishment. It is a gift from God. If you really want to love Jesus, first learn to suffer, because suffering teaches you how to love. And my favorite from St. Padre Pio, blessed is the crisis that made you grow, the fall that made you gaze up to heaven, and the problem that made you look for God. Are all these canonized saints just crazy? I mean, maybe. Or do they actually know how to love best? And I think the beauty of the suffering in my life is that it invited me to wrestle. It invited me to wrestle with the truth of who I am and what I'm made for, to wrestle with my purpose in life, to wrestle with what I actually believe in. And what led to that litany of love I shared at the beginning of my love for God and the Catholic Church and my husband in this life, it all started through great suffering and being challenged. And the point I want to just drill home is that just because God allows suffering in your life does not mean he doesn't love you. Just because God allows suffering in your life does not mean that he doesn't love you. In order to encounter resurrected Jesus, you must first encounter crucified Jesus. Do you want this version of Jesus? So often we only want resurrected Jesus. We want feel-good Jesus. We want happy Jesus. Do you understand that there's no Easter without Good Friday? There is no Easter without Good Friday. Do you want crucified Jesus? Are you willing to follow this version of Jesus that you see on the screen? Because if you don't want him, then your love is conditional. Coming to know this Jesus is what opened the floodgates of his love for me. Coming to know this Jesus is what made me know that this is personal, that the Bible is not just some history book or irrelevant story in my life, that it is a personal love story for me, that God fled heaven, he became man, he took on sin and death of the world and conquered the very thing that would have permanently kept me separated from him. Do you understand how personal that is? And that story is not just for me, that's for every single one of you in this room. That's for every single person that you know. That Jesus died for you. Is that just some cliche thing that you hear, or does it actually pierce your heart? He thirsts for your love. Mother Teresa says, I see so many of you just flop into the chapel. You're just there, and that is all. There is no zeal, and there's no personal meeting with him. So many of us just go through the motions like robots. And then we wonder, why is God not showing up for me? Probably because he didn't create you to be a robot. Like, he created you to be human. He created you with a heart that was made to love and to be loved. Coming to know this Jesus is what reveals that. Coming to know this Jesus is what made the sacrament of confession a safe place for me and not a shameful place. Coming to know this Jesus grounded my trust in the teachings of the Catholic Church. It's this Jesus that made the Eucharist real to me and the most sacred gift heaven has ever offered me. As we begin Holy Week next week, my challenge to you is to encounter this man and wrestle with what you believe in. Because this is either real or it's not. There is no in between. You have a duty and a responsibility to know what the truth is and to know how truth impacts your life. Being Catholic by name is not good enough. Saying you'll figure out the faith stuff later is not good enough. 3 years ago, I met with this senior man. I sat down. I said, "What do you believe about God?" "I don't know. I don't know what my faith is, but I'll figure it out later when I leave here." "So what do you mean you'll figure it out later? I want you, before you leave Pius, to know 100% that God is real or 100% that he is not, because the in-between doesn't exist." A week later, that guy came back to me, and he was like, "I'd never heard someone challenge me in the faith like that," and I opened my Bible again and started reading it. We need to challenge each other like that. Saying I don't know what I believe is not good enough. Saying the faith life just isn't for me is like saying breathing oxygen isn't for me. Are you 100% confident that this isn't real? Are you 100% confident that this isn't real? And again, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe Mother Teresa's crazy. Maybe the Bible's crazy. I'm willing to be challenged there. Maybe none of this matters. But the big but is if this is all real, if the death and resurrection of Jesus is real, if the Catholic Church is real, if the Eucharist is real, if the sacraments are real, if God's unconditional love for you is real, if the face on this screen is real, then your entire life must change. And it must change now. Because I know for a fact that 1, we will all die. 2, your soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. And 3, there are 2 teams recruiting you right now, heaven and hell. What are you going to do? Because the worst thing you could do after this talk and when you go on with your life is to do absolutely nothing. You have a choice today, and it's to choose or not to choose. It's to be all in or half out. A final quote from St. Teresa Lisieux. She says, "If you can't be a half saint, you must be a whole saint or no saint at all." And I'll ask you the same question that I was asked in college that started changing my life was, what if you gave God everything? Because I promise you, it will change your life. Thank you.